good morning, everybody. Hallelujah. How many of you guys are hungry and thirsty for God? How many of you guys want Him to just totally change your heart, your mind, your everything? I believe that this morning is a morning for elevation. I believe that this morning is a morning for promotion. I believe that God wants to break some things off of the lives and hearts of some people so that you guys can understand what it means to live with the hand of God upon your life. I'm going to be speaking about the upward cycle of God's blessing upon your life. For the ones who don't know me, my name is Matthew Helland. I'm 43 years old. I'm married to Femke. I have four kids, Judah, Hannah, Levi, and Benjamin. 17 years ago, you guys sent me and Femke and a one-year-old or one-and-a-half-year-old to the Netherlands. Now I'm back, and the one-year-old is like this tall, and I'm just really, really honored and privileged to be a part of Spirit Life. So thank you guys for having me. Just a few announcements. When you guys came in, you guys got a flyer. Inside of that flyer are these two flyers about Ruach School of Prophecy. Since 2010, I've been teaching schools of prophecy around the world. But during the corona pandemic, we started giving this online. And now I have eight nations and four different languages schools of prophecy where we're training up people to grow in the prophetic. The Bible says in Acts 2 that God will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh and that we will all prophesy. And when I say prophesy, I'm not talking about telling people the future or about, you know, how many babies they're going to have or who's going to marry who. No, I'm talking about strengthening, encouraging, and comforting. And I'm speaking about testifying about what Jesus does in our lives. Because we are a church. We are a church that comes from the Pentecostal holiness background. Pentecost means that the Holy Spirit is here and He empowers us. Holiness means that we get to walk with Him and that we are holy, we are saints, we are pure. And I love to train people and equip people in this. And this week we're going to be having an open house on Tuesday night if you'd like to experience it for free. We'll have a bunch of trainers minister to you. And then we're going to kick off this weekend, level one. You can read about all the different levels. Level one is based on this book that I've written, Prophesy, Just Do It, with 32 different examples of how you can grow in hearing God's voice and giving His message to others. Who would like to grow in the prophetic? Anybody here? Yeah. All right, Harley, can you give this to this lady right here? I saw her hand first. And then level two is all about knowing what the gospel is. Most Christians don't know what the gospel is. Most unbelievers don't know what the gospel is. So we share what the gospel is, how you can share it with power. So healing, words of knowledge, et cetera, et cetera. Harley, sorry, man. I got you doing here. Go ahead and give it to the person in the next to the back's row, the hand up there. Yeah, you. Go ahead and give that book there. That's level two. And then level three, this is really awesome. This is a book which has over 1,000 different possible meanings about what you might see in dreams and visions, all right? The Bible speaks about, God speaks through dreams and visions. This belongs to us. It doesn't belong to the New Age. It belongs to Jesus, to us, all right? So who would like one of these? Go ahead, this lady, front row. There you go. Thank you so much, Harley. And for everybody else, I got them in the back in the books. You can get one of those or sign up for Ruach School of Prophecy. The other thing that I have, you'll notice here, every week, I go to the red light district in Amsterdam. When I was 13 years old, I was here in the fellowship hall. Gina might remember this. We had an evangelist come through, and he started talking about, you know, there's some places in the world you just can't go. Like, you have to be really strong. Like, we went to Amsterdam's red light district, and, like, a guy disappeared. We never saw him again. And there's, like, scantily clad women behind the windows, almost no clothes on, and there's drugs, and it's really dark, and it's really bad. So I was like, you know, a 13-year-old kid, I was like, Lord, I'll go to Africa, I'll go to Latin America, but Lord, I never want to go to Amsterdam. And so then I met Femke, the most beautiful woman I've ever met in my life. She's from there. And God woke me up one morning and said, I want you to go to Amsterdam. And about 10 years, we had our Dutch-speaking church, and then Femke. I have the Holy Spirit, and I have Holy Femke. They speak like just alike. And she said, it's time to turn the church over to our associate pastor and start something new. And we prayed, and God spoke to us about starting to working with people in prostitution. And one of the people from that ministry said, you can help too. And so I was like, what, me? And this is a really, really crazy story. I was in Germany. at a supermarket, and all of a sudden I heard a woman speaking Spanish, and I turned around, and if they speak Spanish, I'm just going to prophesy over. So I just said, "Can I tell you what God wants to say?" She said, "Yeah." So I just started prophesying over, and she was like, "Oh, how'd you know all that?" And we ended up going to her house. We ended up having like 25 Latinos in Germany praying for them and everything. And when I started telling her about how I was praying about starting doing this ministry, she looked at me and said, "Now I know why God had me meet you. When I was 17 years old, I was forced into prostitution. I thought I was coming to Germany to work as a nanny. I was forced into prostitution. The pimp would come and take my money. I became addicted to drugs, and it was Christians who began to visit me who helped me get out of prostitution." And that was the confirmation that God told me, "Set my people free." And my wife and I are honored and privileged to be able to help a ton of people get out of prostitution. Every week I get to go. They know me as Pastor Madeo. I get to pray for all the Spanish-speaking men and women who work in prostitution. And you know what? The gospel is not about staying in the four walls of a church. Or I guess this would be like eight walls or something like that. But it's not about the four walls. The gospel is about being light in darkness. Because where sin abounds, grace abounds. And we've got to go and we've got to pray. I have this dream about going to pray and fast into cities and seeing God touch people and change lives. And you know, I've been a part of this church for decades, and I remember as a kid going to Fairmont Terrace, when Fairmont Terrace was like the worst neighborhood, and praying there and saying, "God, open this up, touch this neighborhood." And 2 years later, with Bob Scadding, I got to do kids' work there, and there's this guy named Dion who sings like amazing, but when he was 12-year-old, he couldn't say any of his timetables, and I helped him with his timetables. And you know what? This church is called to bring light into darkness. And this morning, I believe that God just wants to visit us, and he wants to do some work in our lives. So if you want to know more about this ministry, there's a bunch of QR codes. You can read, download books and different things about that. But I want to speak about what God's doing in our life, but what he's doing in our life has to do with what God is doing in your life. Because God has not called us to be the frozen chosen. He's called us to be filled with his Holy Spirit and take his fire and see lives changed. I want to show you a video real quick. This is about Elizabeth, one of the ladies who we were able to help get out of prostitution. So let me tell you a little bit more about Elizabeth. Elizabeth never talked to me. She always had her feet up on the window, and she was pretty overweight. And she told everybody there's this crazy white guy who says he speaks Spanish, and he's a pastor, but he's crazy. I don't talk to him. And someone told her, he really is a pastor. He can help you. So one night she told me, "Hey, I want to quit." And I said, "Well, come on to our office. We're going to help you out." She came to our office. And the first thing she said was, "I'm scared." I said, "What are you scared of?" "I'm scared of becoming an evangelical Christian." I said, "Don't worry about that. We're going to help you. It's all going to come good. It's all going to be good." So then we visited her house for a barbecue. And when we went to her house, she told everybody to hide the beer, you know, because the pastors were coming. And I had a friend of mine who's a prophet, and he looked at her, didn't know her, said, "I see you have back pain and knee pain. God says I'm going to heal you." And she thought, "Oh, another crazy guy." And she said, "You know what? I just want to quit drinking alcohol," because she'd been drinking a lot of alcohol just to survive 16 years of prostitution. And He said, okay, next time you drink alcohol, it's going to be disgusting. That night, she took a beer. It just didn't taste good. The next day, she had a pounding headache that she never had before. 2 months later, she realized that she had not taken a drop of alcohol and that Jesus had set her free from alcoholism. The story goes on because before she was known as the monster, la monstra, and she was the one that would organize parties and all kinds of things. All the Dominicans know her, all right? And the way she had me come to her house was at night she would have dreams where she was chained. And I went to her house and I prayed for her and the dream stopped. And God speaks to her through dreams. And she was actually back in the Dominican Republic, and all of a sudden she started having this feeling like she was angry. She's like, Pastor Mateo's not here. I'm gonna go back to old life. And that night, she had a dream. And in that dream, she's driving in a Jeep really fast, going over a cliff. And in the middle of the dream, God uses my voice to say, you are my dearly beloved daughter. I love you. And at that point, she slams on the brakes, climbs out of the Jeep, and says, I'm never going back to that old life. Now, yeah, you can clap. I think that's a pretty good thing, reading to clap. Now, every month, she organizes a huge thing of food in her house. And she's one of our leaders, and she has a ton of people. Everybody knows her. She's always bringing new people to our church, doing huge parties, and telling everybody, Jesus changed my life. I was looking for love. I was looking for acceptance. And she said this to group. She said, you know, the practical help is good, but what really helped me out was the love of God. And this morning, this is what I want to talk to you guys about. I want to talk to you guys about redemption and lift, the upward cycle of God's blessing. And I'm going to talk to you guys first about a negative part, and I'm going to talk to you about the downward spiral. I'm going to describe that. And then I'll get to the good part, and I'll talk about the upward spiral. And by the way, this is for everybody. Nobody in this place can say God's blessing is not for me. Nobody can say I'm a loser, I'm a failure, I'll never succeed. No, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. All of the promises in Christ are yes and amen. I know a little boy who was born with cerebral palsy, who the doctor said would never talk or walk. And when he was 6 months old, his aunt sent a prayer tissue to his mama. She sewed it to his pajamas, and within 1 month's time, he was totally healed. I know that baby boy real well because I am that baby boy. And so I want to tell you, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Because God has plans for you. And he's calling you to be the head and not the tail. He's calling you to have a new vision about yourself. He's calling you to know his love, that he loves you with an everlasting love, and you are the apple of his eye. And there's no sin, there's nothing that you can do that can separate you from his love. And this is so cool. Before the corona pandemic, understand, I'm working with people who tell me almost every week someone says, I want to quit prostitution, but I don't know how. Because of debts or because of one other reason. Or I've had women say, you know, it's not really about, you know, it's all about money. It's all about a spirit of poverty. It's all about having more. And it's so cool because right before the corona pandemic, we started doing this proclamation. You know, I was like, I don't want to preach before the sermon, so we're just going to do this proclamation. As we give our tithes and offerings, we're believing God for jobs and better jobs, favor with the government, ideal house, you know, all these things. I thought, you know, 30 seconds, we're done with it. Until 6 months later, I realized, Femke, it's really happening. People in our church are getting jobs, are getting houses. Somebody gave me a job without even asking for it. My wife had $500 on the streets. And so what is the blessed life? We're blessed to be a blessing. As we give, God gives to us so we can give more. You want to break the spirit of poverty? Learn how to give. Learn how to love. Know that the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything that I need. I'm working on my next book. It's going to be something called like Radical Generosity. With Christ, there is always more than enough. And one of the things that God has given me for there to be more than enough is this amazing woman, Femke. She couldn't be here this morning, But I love Jesus and I love Femke. And delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And one of my greatest honors is to be able to be a pastor for people in prostitution. People that are transgender, homosexual, people from all kinds of backgrounds. I am their pastor. And I get to go be there. And they're, Pastor Mateo, why weren't you here last week? And in those places, I get to see people touched by the power of God and healed by the power of God. Holiness is not about hiding from the world. Holiness is about going into the world and being the light of the world. I don't want to be in a chapel. I want to be a foot away from hell so I can pull people out of there because Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. This is our calling. Do you know this church, at one point, the leaders of this church had a decision. When I came to this church, this was an upper-class, middle-class church. And they saw the demographics change of this neighborhood. And Pastor Norman Wilkie and the pastors here said, we are not leaving to another neighborhood. We are reaching this neighborhood. And you know what? That takes guts. That takes courage. But that's the gospel. Because Jesus did not come to be served. He came to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And that's why this church is going to be here for many more generations. Because we are going to flourish where God plants us. So, let's get into teaching. Try not to preach too much. Just, you know, teach. Here we go. Why are we often empty and tired? The prophet Jeremiah uses these words. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. There are songs like, I can't get no satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction, and I try, and I try, and I try, I can't get no. Why? Because people are trying to get their satisfaction from money, from success, from sex, from all kinds of things that might fill you for a moment, but they leave you empty. And when Jesus went to a woman who was probably a prostitute, had had five husbands, but the man was not her husband, he told her these words, drink from the water that I will give you, and you will not only have satisfaction, you will become a well, a fountain of living water, and you will bring satisfaction to the people around you. And God raises up this woman to be an evangelist, and she brings her whole village to Jesus. What is the life of connected to Jesus? Listen, we do not serve a religion. We serve Jesus. And Jesus is here right now. And Jesus speaks and Jesus talks and he says, do you want to have true life? Then connect to me. Connect to me and rivers of living water will flow from out of you because a spiritual life is being like a tree planted by streams of water that no matter what the economy does, no matter who's in the White House, no matter what happens around you, you are connected to another voice inside of you that says, you are my dearly beloved son and daughter. I love you. So guess what? We are not living from our circumstances. We are living from the Spirit of God that is inside of us, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the same Spirit that created the creation in the world is now inside of you and me. Take your right hand. Put it in front of your mouth. Just breathe on your hand real quick. That's not just your breath. That's not just your breath. That's not just you. For you are a temple, you are a house of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, the breath of God wants to breathe through you. How does Paul describe it? He says, our spirit knows our mind, God's spirit knows God's mind. So now God's spirit lives in us. We have the mind of Christ. All right. So let's take a look at how the world lives. Many of the people who we help have said that when they worked in prostitution, they could earn $10,000 in one day, but within 24 hours, it was gone. And I've seen people who are successful businessmen, but because of lies they believe, they have these self-destructive patterns. This is how Haggai says. He says, you have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. In the name of Jesus, I come against every curse that may be on your life that says, I cannot go forward, I cannot prosper, I cannot be healthy. I break it in the name of Jesus, because Jesus became a curse for us. And the power of God's grace is greater than any sin, than any addiction, than anything. Nothing can take you from the arms of Papa God. Now, let's take a look at the downward destructive spiral that the world lives in. Because the world tells us it's all about what you have. And basically they say it's all about you being the God of your own life. I believe what I want to do. I live the way I want to live. And what does this lead us to? It leads to having a need to prove my worth. I need to show you how good I am. I need to prove to you that I am somebody. And what does this lead us to? It leads us to basing our life in things like lust or greed or power. When I came to Jinx, I was 11 years old, and I was excited because I had Velcro shoes. I was like, ah, I have Velcro shoes. But then I found out you can't have Velcro shoes. You need to have Nike Air Jordans or Reebok pumps that you can pump up with a little ball in there. And then I felt rejection. And all of a sudden, buying shoes were not just about buying shoes. It's about having my identity, having the right shoes. And when we get to know Jesus, you are no longer your shoes. But if you're not careful, you might fill yourself up with drugs or porn or all kinds of different things. And what does this lead to? Emptiness. What does emptiness lead to? Despair. And what does this lead to? Toxic emotions such as fear, anger, shame, guilt. If you ever hear a voice that says you're nobody, you're nothing, you'll never be free, that's the devil speaking to you. Who are you going to believe? With the devil, or are you going to believe what God says to you? And this is the problem, is that we have then anger that's put inside becomes depression. Anger that's outwards is aggression. And what does that create? It creates this cycle that just continues to go down and down. And then the world is struggling with these emotions. These are the unhealthy patterns we're seeing. What are the patterns we see? First of all, fight. I've never seen so many angry people as there are now. Where does this anger come from? Fear. And so people either fight or they'll flight, run away. And if we don't deal with these toxic emotions, what they will do to us is that they will paralyze us in fear. That we will not be able to reach that what God has called us to. And what will that lead to? Death. But I have good news. There's somebody who's conquered death in the grave. Okay, we've talked about the bad stuff. Let's talk about the good stuff. Is it time to talk about the good stuff? Here we go. What heals us? Kyrie and Brielle Jackson were born in 1997 in Worcester, Massachusetts. And they're both premature babies. And the one sister, her heart started going nuts. And the nurse realized she's dying. And she didn't know what to do. And so she went and she grabbed her twin sister and put her next to her. And at the moment that her sister put her hand on her, her heart became normal and she was healed. What do we need? We need family. We need someone who will touch us and say, I believe in you. I love in you. Grandpa. We need someone who will take the time and they'll say, how are you doing? And they really care. You know, prophecy is not telling the future. It's strengthening, encouraging, comforting people. And so it's so important that we don't put people up here like, oh, there's Matt Helland. He's really a powerful, anointed man of God. I'm just like you. Everything I can do, you can do better. And he's called us to be an army who goes out and prays and touches people and strengthens and encourages them. Can I give you a word with your permission? The Lord says, I love you, my daughter. And I'm opening up new doors for you. And I see like all these crystal like cathedral windows and the sun just shining in. And the Lord says, I love you, and I'm pouring out my color and my light into your heart. I have seen your tears and I have seen your hurt, and know that I'm doing a new thing. This is a new chapter, and I break all of the words of the enemy and every curse that's been spoken over you. And I say, this is a new day. I've got a song for you. I've got a feeling that tonight's gonna be a good night. Tonight's gonna be a good, good night, because Jesus has you in his arms. And he says, I'm never gonna let you go. God loves you so much. And you've been so faithful. You've been so faithful, and people have looked down on you. And you've said, you know what? I'm going to keep going after Jesus. And because you said, I'm going to keep going after Jesus, Jesus says, I'm going to use you as an evangelist. You're going to bring people to Jesus. And you know what? They're going to see miracles and things that are going to take place through you. And I see even as a little kid, you were like 4 or 5 years old, and you loved Jesus, and you wanted more of him. And there's been things that have happened, but Jesus says, you know what? I called you even when you were in your mother's womb. I love you, my son. And we are going to bring my light to dark places. So right now, Jesus wants to touch you. Jesus wants to heal you. He wants to bring you into an upward spiral, an upward cycle. Let's see where this upward cycle of blessing is in the scripture. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith. Everybody say justified. Justified. Okay, justified means it's just as if I'd never sinned. So we're justified. You don't have to earn anything. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to pray for 20 hours. You don't have to. No, you're justified through Jesus. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Let me show you what this looks like. God is at the center of my life. God is God, and I'm not. So then I can say, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything that I need. Through Christ, I am righteous. I am justified just as I had never sinned. Listen, you are not a sinner. In Christ, you are a saint. You are holy. And when the enemy comes to accuse you and put guilt and shame, say, uh-uh. In Christ, I am a new creation. The old has passed and the new has come. That's not me. I have a difficult question. Hope you guys can answer this. How many of you guys have ever stepped in poop? Let me see your hand. Got a question. If you step in poop, are you poop? You clean your shoe off. If you sin, if you mess up, clean yourself up and stand up. And this is a church that we're going to love you even when you step in poop. And so when we realize that we're justified, that we're righteous, then we get to live from a place of faith and peace. And faith is confidence, security, rest. What is peace? It's more than just peace. It's shalom. It's developing. It's flourishing. It's growing. And then you get to learn that God has storehouses full of gifts. His grace is radical, generous generosity. God wants to just give you his gifts. In the Netherlands, I go to the beach sometimes, and I lay in the beach, and when I come home, I have sand. Little things of sand all over in my hair, everywhere, and my wife complains because it gets in our bed. But anyways, more than all the little pieces of sand are the thoughts that God thinks over you, and he says, I love you, I love you, I love you. You are valuable. Don't reject yourself, but receive my grace. And what does God give us the grace for? So that we can persevere through suffering. And as we go through suffering, as we go through hard times, you know, how many times have I seen my wife say to a woman who's crying, saying, I want to get out of prostitution, and we say, I don't know how, I don't know when, but God is going to make a way where there seems to be no way, and God does it. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Do you believe it? Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. And as you grab onto him, you grow in character, you grow in hope. And not only does he do that, but he comes with his Holy Spirit and he pours his Holy Spirit in your hearts. So then your strength is not depending anymore on how much cappuccino you've drunk. It's being connected to the voice of God. Harley had some boys in Washington, D.C. who misbehaved, and so he forced them to hold his hand. I didn't misbehave. I was a good boy. But come here, Harley. Harley's going to be Jesus, all right? He has Jesus in him, but he's going to be Jesus. Many times we think that Jesus is there and we're here. But the truth is, this is the way that we can live. Hand in hand with Jesus. Everywhere we go. And what's so beautiful is that then, when I lay my hands on someone, it's not just me laying hands on that person, it's Jesus. When I come and I speak a word, it's not just me, it's Jesus. We are the body of Christ. We live one with Jesus. Why is this crazy dude from Amsterdam here? I'm here to let you know that you don't live, Jesus lives through you. And as this happens, we begin the upward spiral of God's blessing in our life. How many of you guys want the blessing of God in your life? And check out what sociologists have said. This is really cool. People of faith engage in less criminal behavior, more pro-social behavior, experience higher marital happiness and lower divorce rates while producing more and better behaved children. They report more and better sex with their spouse and less cheating. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Experience better mental health and probably better physical health too. Give more generously in terms of money and time, and are better educated, more successful, and less credulous. What does the gospel do? It redeems all of our crap and uses that to create beautiful flowers, and it pulls us up to a new level of living. How many of you guys want a new level of living? So my question for you today is, where are you going to live from? From a place of more than enough, or a place of never being able to be satisfied? What are you going to do? And some of you guys might say, yeah, but I don't know how. It's real simple. Jesus said to come into God's kingdom, you got to be like a child. So right now, I want you, all of you guys, to pretend like you're 8 or 9 years old. You're no longer as old as you are. And this is what Jesus says to you right now. You ready? Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How many of you guys want that rest right now? Okay. Go ahead and close your eyes. Put your 2 feet on the floor if you can and relax. And we're going to talk to Jesus, and Jesus is going to talk to us right now. Just repeat after me. Say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, how much do you love me? I want you to imagine that you have a bag. It's a bag we're going to give to Jesus. And in your imagination, just go ahead and fill that bag up right now with whatever problems, whatever habits, whatever things that have been weighing you down, and we're going to give it to him. So go close your eyes and just give him all your concerns, all your problems, all your worries. The Bible says, cast your cares on me, for I care for you. Everybody say, Father God, I give you my bag. I give you my worries. Jesus Christ, what do you give me in return? Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, show me how valuable I am to you. The Spirit of God is here. Spirit of God is here. And with your leader's permission, I'm just going to move into a time of ministry. There's somebody here who has pain in their right shoulder. Right shoulder. Yeah, come on up. I like to demonstrate how we can pray for the sick, not so that you say, oh, wow, that's really cool that Matt can do it. Everything I can do, you can do better. And you don't have to work at something up. The Bible says if you believe in Jesus, you can lay your hands on the sick and they'll recover. How many believe in Jesus? Where do you have pain right now? Not at the moment? Okay, do you have pain anywhere in your body right now? No? Okay. Father God, in the name of Jesus, that this pain in this right shoulder will not return and never return. Holy Spirit, come and fill her right now. Just open her eyes. Do a new work in her life. She's hungry for you. She wants more of you. What are you feeling right now? As I pray for you, Holy Spirit, just fill her. Woo. Lighthearted. It's like he's picking you up. Okay. Holy Spirit, more. Holy Spirit, more. Okay, I was going in the direction of healing, but I think I'm going to go in another direction. I want to show you guys. You got pain? Come on up. We'll do a shoulder. Come on up. You having pain in your shoulder? Your right shoulder? Okay, you have pain anywhere else? Your right knee. Okay. 5 steps to heal the sick. How many of you guys want to heal the sick? Step one, ask permission if you can put your hand on there. So with her permission, I'll put my hand on her shoulder and on her knee. Step two, command the body part to be healed. Every prayer in the New Testament is a command, not if it's your will. Step three, some sickness, but not all sickness, some sickness is a spirit. So you command the spirit to go. Step number four, this is really hard. You ask, how are you feeling now? And many times healing is completely immediate, and sometimes it's a process. And that's why I'll ask from 0 to 10, how's the pain now? Sometimes it'll be gone, and sometimes I'll have to repeat it. And that's why step 5 is, if necessary, repeat step 1 to 4. And how do we do this? Very relaxed. We don't have to get all uptight because we don't heal, Jesus heals. Okay, so come on over. Let's start with your shoulder, all right? Can I have one of the leaders just stand behind her? Judy, if you could stand behind her. Can I put my hand on your shoulder? Okay. In the name of Jesus, I command shoulder be healed. Pain go, shoulder be healed, and every spirit of sickness go now in the name of Jesus. And Holy Spirit, just fill her. Fill her. Is it the right knee? Can I put my hand on your knee? In the name of Jesus, I command knee be healed. Pain go. Pain go. Pain go. I command the knee, every part of the knee, to be healed, restored now. In the name of Jesus, and every spirit of sickness, go. And the Lord says, my daughter, I'm lifting you up and I'm promoting you. I see him putting you like on a throne. It's a place of leadership because God has called you to be a leader, and he's called you to be a leader of leaders. And the Holy Spirit is just blowing on you now. And Father God, thank you, Lord, that you are taking her to a new level of blessing. How's your shoulder feel now? Hello.
That pain is completely gone, but my knee has been bothering me probably for like 5 years now, and it feels like new, like it's been...
Okay, walk up and down the stairs real quick. Come on down. How does it feel?
It feels amazing.
Amazing?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. I always have pain in it. And it's
go ahead and move
gone.
Your arm. All right, go and walk up the stairs again. Come on down. I like to test things out because I want to celebrate things that really happen. Amen? How is it feeling? Awesome.
Yes.
Who else has pain in their right knee? Right knee. Come on up. You can't come up there? All right. All right. Here you go. Go to that man right there. This man right there. And with his permission, put your hand on his knee. Do you have pain anywhere else? Both knees? In the name of Jesus, we speak to your knees. Knees be healed. I command every spirit of sickness to go. I command all pain, go now in the name of Jesus. Knees, be healed. And I speak not only to your knees, but I speak to your back. Back, be strengthened now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, come and touch him now. And I just see the Holy Spirit just touching you right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Sir, how are you feeling now? Is there any difference? You feel calm? Good. All right. Okay, I want to finish with one last thing. Tonight at Celebrate Recovery, I think we'll go further with healing. How many of you guys want to drink of the Holy Spirit? All right. So I'm gonna pick five volunteers. I'm going to pick on some people here. Gina, come on up. We went to youth group together, so I can pick on her. Who else am I gonna? You wanna be picked on too? No? Okay. Come on up, sister over here. I'll give Harley. I'm gonna Harley come on up here. You come on up. Just stand right here. Judy, come on up. My brother here, can you come on up? If you want to. Okay, many times we make things really complicated when they're not. And that's my goal, is I want to show you how simple things are. Jesus said, ask and you will receive. So I want you guys just to line up here, and I want you guys to close your eyes. Just close your eyes. Pretend that nobody's looking at you. And just like people used to drink a lot of beer and wine, we're going to drink of the Holy Spirit right now. And that's the best kind because it doesn't give you a headache or anything, and he just touches you and heals you. And we're just going to see what happens. Okay, because the Holy Spirit's here. All right? So Holy Spirit, just come. And I'm going to ask you guys, go ahead and put your hands out in a receiving position. Just put your hands like in a receiving position. And I say, Holy Spirit, come. Fill. Fill. More. More. Father God, I thank you for just removing all baggage, all worry. In the name of Jesus, go deeper. Holy Spirit, more. more. And notice, I'm just blessing what the God's doing. Holy Spirit, come and touch. Lord, on eagle's wings, come and touch. Fill. Holy Spirit, fill. Father God, thank you that this is a Spirit Life Church and your Spirit is flowing now. Your Spirit, fill. And we're just going to see what's happening right now. If you'll notice, her hands are shaking a little bit. Sometimes when people experience the Spirit of God, they might start shaking. Sometimes people fall. I can't explain everything, but I just bless what God's doing. That God is just going deep. And so we're just going to ask. So Judy, what are you experiencing right now?
I can feel the Holy Spirit on me for sure.
She just feels the Spirit of the presence of the Holy Spirit upon her. I notice over here, this guy over here is just speaking in tongues. Many times when the Holy Spirit touches us, we get to speak in tongues, or we might start dreams or visions. What are you experiencing, Gina?
God's love.
She's just experiencing God's love. Sometimes we just receive like we're in the arms of Father God. And we just see peace. So you don't have to have a manifest. Just experience his love and his rest. What are you experiencing right now?
A song.
Many times God gives us new songs. He gives us new joy. Sir, you got a big smile on your face. What are you experiencing?
Love.
Because being filled with the Spirit of God is just being filled with his love. How many of you guys want to drink from this? Everybody who wants to be filled right now just with the Spirit of God, just stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. And don't focus on anybody else. This isn't about Matt Helen. This isn't about anybody. This is about just Jesus. Just put your hands out in a receiving position. And everybody repeat after me. Say, Father God, I give you my heart. I give you my life, and I receive your Spirit now and your touch right now. Holy Spirit, blow. I see chains being broken. I see depression being gone. I see dreams and visions being released. I see the fire of God coming upon this place right now. Holy Spirit, touch. Your fire, your love. More. 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 I pray for the people that are watching online right now. Holy Spirit, touch them wherever they're at, in their house, whatever they may be doing. It's time to dismiss the service because we've gone over time. So if you need to go, feel free to go. But if you want to stay, I just want to invite the people who want to stay to just go to one another and just put your hand on each other and bless what the Holy Spirit's doing. So this is the official end of the service. But if you want to keep drinking, I want to invite you to stay and drink. And I bless you guys in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I know you were talking earlier about when you got to go into Fairmont Terrace. Mm-hmm. It's very ironic. Mm-hmm. Because I'm the main reason you guys were, well, it used to be Fairmont Terrace. Mm-hmm. But it's,